Well, you can turn to chapter 13, the last chapter in the book of Hebrews. And we're finishing up the book of Hebrews today. And what a powerful book it has been. I have loved this study of the book of Hebrews. It has so encouraged me to see these believers go through the very difficult things that they were having to go through at that time, and to hear this author encourage them, strengthen them, rebuke them in some passages, reprove them. But he's done everything out of love. And he's brought our attention back into Christ and reminded us of our completeness in Christ Jesus, and how it is through Christ and his blood that he has brought us into the Father, and that now we can come boldly before the Father through Christ and obtain the mercy that we need because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is greater than the prophets, greater than Moses of the Old Testament, who they revealed. They loved Moses and revered him, and he should be revered and honored, but not more than Christ. And Christ is to be exalted because he is God's Son. He is the Son of the living God. He is the exact likeness of the Father. In fact, Jesus said it so boldly. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And he said nothing unless it was the Father's words. He did not speak individually on his own. He only spoke what the Father gave him. He only did what the Father commanded him to do. He was completely obedient to God the Father in every way, word, thought, and deed. He fulfilled the purpose even when it meant separation from God on the cross and the turning away of the Father from the sins that had been placed upon his Son, my sins, your sins, making him the scapegoat that was sent outside the camp, suffering the reproach on the cross, and the curse that came through that because of sin and wickedness. When he arose and took his blood before God, he poured it out on the mercy seat in the heavenly tabernacle, and he gave redemption for all mankind, for all who are willing to accept that sacrifice. It is free, but your allegiance to God will cost you. It is free for those who will believe, who will trust in him, and who would adhere to his words and his teachings and the truth of this book. For all of those that will come, leaving their past behind, taking on the new birth experience, a death to self and a resurrective life in Christ Jesus, it is for anyone, for whosoever will, let them come, let them drink the water of life freely. It's a gift. It's a gift that was given. But it means you have to leave the past behind and receive the free gift of salvation and eternal life. And it also means that you must follow and keep your allegiance to Christ, his word, the truth that has been presented to you in the Bible, and walk in agreement and in harmony with the word of the Lord. For how can two walk together except they agree? Amen. This is the book of Hebrews. He's brought forth the heroes of faith when it seemed its darkest in chapter 10, because so many were renouncing and going back and leaving Christ and abandoning the one who had saved them for an old system of dead works that was now over. And it's hard for us to fathom that, but even today, many are leaving Jesus Christ to go after other gods, to please their self. And they have abandoned their first love. They have abandoned the one who gave them eternal life. They have abandoned the one who died for them and who gave his life so that we could be set free of the tyranny of Satan. They've left him like a husband or a wife would leave their vows. Many have left God. They've left Jesus, the one in whom they should have loved, the one that was able to bring them all the way through unto eternal life and present them before the Father, the one who is our high priest, who understands the temptations and the struggles of life and the things that we go through on a daily basis, our fears and sometimes our insecurities and all of the struggles. They left him and chose worldly things or worldly addictions or strongholds, or they chose other gods, some of them even their own appetites, the things that they wanted and desired more than God himself. But the book of Hebrews says, stand fast. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. This is such an encouraging book because it lets me know that when the hour of trouble or tribulation come in my life, whether that be a death of a loved one, the loss of a child, a report from a doctor unwanted, an unwanted divorce, an unwanted separation, the trials that's come just because we're a part of a world that has rejected Christ, that situations happen here, it lets me know that there is one seated at the right hand of the Father, the high priest who understands me and knows what it's like to go through difficulty. And these people who went through these difficult times and yet still remained faithful. There was a group still going to stand. There was a group who was not going to renounce Jesus. They were not going to go back to the synagogues. There was a group that was going to stay faithful. And that's he's encouraging them to remain faithful, and he's exhorting and rebuking those who are thinking about going backwards instead of forwards. What a great book this is. What a great letter. And we're in chapter 13. And at the very end, he's going to give us practical application. What if we go through a trial or if we go through a difficulty, how should we respond? What should we do when the pressure's on? How should we respond to the circumstances of life when the heat is on and there's difficulty and there's trouble? How do we respond? What is the practical application that he's going to give us for our everyday life? Let's start in verse 28 of chapter 12, and then we're going to go right in to verse 13, and I'm going to read it all. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Pray for us, for our conscience is clear, and we want to live honorably in everything we do. And especially pray that I will be able to come back to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to pay attention to what I have written in this brief exhortation. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released from jail. If he comes here soon, I will bring him with me to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the believers there. The believers from Italy send you their greetings. May God's grace be with you all. We understand the book of Hebrews and the message that he's giving to these believers who are wavering back and forth between an old system that was now gone and a new way of life through Christ Jesus the Lord. Because of the persecution and being tempted to go back into the old system because they did not want to suffer, they did not want to see their children suffer. They did not want to see their family members go through anything. And because of that, and I can feel in my heart how difficult it was for them to face the challenges of their day and remain steadfast with an allegiance unto Christ when it would have been so easy to slip back into that old system to save their skin and to save their families and to save themselves from persecution. This is midway into Nero's reign, but he would become the most wicked and ungodly ruler. He would be so much like Stalin and Hitler and all other world rulers who care nothing for individual lives. They experimented on people. They burned Christians at the stake. They released lions upon their children and their families. He was such a vile man that they considered those arenas as circuses and were dressed in costumes. You have to understand that, because if you don't understand that, you will not understand the book of Hebrews. You will not understand how evil it really was in the time when he is encouraging these believers to stay true and hold fast to Jesus Christ. And so at this closing letter, after he's given all of these appeals, after he's laid down the firm foundation of Christ Jesus, that solid rock that they are to remain on if they are to have eternal life, as he's laid it all out and he's brought it to them in such clarity and understanding, with such love and with strength and with character and with anointing and with power and with a great exhortation of stay fast, hold fast to Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Don't let go of him. Don't get distracted anymore by the storms or the difficulties. After he's given all of this, he comes down to practical application. So in the midst of all of this difficulty and in the midst of all of this hardship, what is he going to tell them? What are the things that he's going to encourage them to do in the midst of this. And how are they to respond in the midst of this difficulty? And the very first thing he says is keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. So the very first thing he's going to say, and he said this before in the book of Hebrews, not to forsake the assembling of yourself together in difficult times. I will need your strength and you will need mine. And we need to encourage and love one another. Is it not the love of the body that keeps us coming? Is it not the love of Christ that keeps us attending church? Because you can't get online what you felt here this morning. His presence, his life. He is all about community. He's all about oneness in the body. He said, Father, in John 17, I pray that we would be one. I pray that they would be one as even we are one, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So it meant so much. And it's not just the people here at Glad Tidings. It's the body of Christ that stays true to the foundation of this word and does not deviate from it to the right or to the left, but holds on steadfastly to an allegiance in Christ Jesus the Lord and will not waver from it regardless of temptation and difficulty or persecution, but will remain faithful through it. That's the body you want to associate with. That's the body that you want to have backing you up. There would be wars, and what were the slogans of some of those wars? No man left behind. Don't leave your brother and sister behind in a difficult situation without giving them aid and encouraging them and helping them. If you're weak, you'll want someone to strengthen you. And when you're strong, you'll need to encourage others. And we're to carry one another's burdens. And we're to pray for one another. And we're to care about their lives. And that's so important. So he's going to remind them to love one another. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And show hospitality. It gets very difficult to show hospitality when trust is gone. And we know from what Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the love of the great body of people would grow cold because of lawlessness, because of wickedness. And so it will be very important to show hospitality, but you must be discerning. And you must be able to love and give help and aid to someone who might be going through a difficult time, or open up your doors and show kindness to other people. I've done that so often. Brian and I have been really big all of our marriage about bringing people into our home, especially family members. And we've had church people come in, and we've had pastors stay with us, and my family is staying with us. My brother is staying with me right now. It's so important to open up your home to show hospitality and not neglect it, because some have entertained angels unaware. And remember those in prison as if it were you there yourself. Remember those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Now you understand they were confiscating people's goods at this time. Nero was confiscating their goods, and he was also taking people to prison. This is midway. Okay, when we get to 1 Peter, 2 Peter, that's when really persecution came. And that's when the greater darkness of Nero's torture came upon the Christians. But right now, they're confiscating their goods. They're taking their property. They're taking their resources. They're not being able to work and do the things that they need to do. And he's saying to them, these that are in prison, these that Nero threw in prison, these who got their goods confiscated and they're now in jail, Remember them. And I hope you feel their pain, the pain of their suffering. It takes the Holy Spirit to feel somebody's pain. It really does, to give you a greater understanding of what people are going through in life. It takes an understanding. I think of Marcia, and she deals a lot with people that are on the streets and homeless and people that have went through hard times and difficult times. It takes a compassionate person to remember people who are going through difficult days. And I'll tell you what, it takes a remembrance in your own life of when things did not go well and it was difficult and it was hard, and remembering those people who showed kindness. I'm thinking of a young lady that when I lost my first husband, and I was just so devastated by it. I was still trying to take my kids. They were in preschool at that time, and I was taking them to preschool. And she showed up, and she seemed frazzled, and she had kids of her own. And in the back of her car, she had cooked a roast, and she had it all in the back of her car in a salad. And while she was coming, she slammed on her brakes, and a stoplight stopped her, and the roast went everywhere and the salad went everywhere. And she came to me and she goes, "This is all I have left, but I just want you to know that I'm so sorry you lost your husband." And she was so kind. I never forgot. I may not know her name, but I never forgot her face. And the Lord will bless her. You see, there, the Lord remembers those acts of kindness. The Lord remembers. You see, when you go through difficult things, and you will, because that's a part of being in this world. When you go through those things, you'll want people to show you kindness. And you'll want people to remember and have compassion upon you. And so he's saying, don't forget these that are in prison, because they're in prison because of their faith. You understand that the people in the Bible went to jail because they believed in Jesus and they died for Jesus. This is our foundation. We sang about foundational songs this morning. Your foundation is that if they persecuted Jesus, they will persecute you. If they loved Jesus, they will love you. That's your foundation. And we're to stay strong in our allegiance to Christ, even in difficult times. So in prison, in suffering, remember them, pray for them. And if there's any way that you can give aid to them, do it. Because they're suffering righteously. Peter will say, if you suffer for Christ, it is good and God will honor it. But if you're suffering for doing something evil, right, then you will bear the punishment of it because you did something evil. That doesn't mean that we're not to witness to people in prisons. We are. This is a whole different category. This is a group of people that have loved Jesus, and because of the government, they are now, their property is being seized. They are being thrown in jail unjustly for one reason and one reason only, because they believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and they have given Christ their life, and they are Christians, true Christians. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. So why is he addressing marriage in the midst of this difficult time? Because when a marriage is under pressure because of outside circumstances, it affects the marriage. It affects the marriage. You may have a wife, let's look at this situation from this point of view. You may have a wife who says, let's go back to the synagogue. We won't have to see our children suffer, right? Mamas don't want to see their babies suffer. Mamas don't want to see their family divided. Let's go back to the synagogue. We can get out of this pressure. I don't want to see my children. Let's go. And he's saying, look, this is difficult. The husband is saying, we must be faithful. We have to stay our allegiance to the Lord. And there's a division. So what is he telling them? Be honorable in marriage. Stay close to one another in marriage, even in difficult times. Do the right thing, even though the outside is very difficult and there's storms and there's hardships and there's difficulties. Come together in oneness and in unity, making that vow before the Lord as a couple, and stay faithful. Don't leave the marriage because circumstances are uncomfortable. Finances are uncomfortable. Difficulties are uncomfortable. And then he goes on to say, don't leave the marriage because of infidelity. Because you decided you're just going to find somebody else. Let's say in that first scenario I gave you that the woman says, well, I'm not staying here with you and go through persecution. I'm going to go. I'm going to leave. And I'm going to find somebody else and I'm going to go back to the synagogue and I'm going to get myself out of this mess. It happens. He's saying stay and remain faithful to one another. Stay in your marriage. Stay committed to the vows that you made. For God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. That's a very strong word. Our culture doesn't even want to hear these words on marriage anymore. But I want you to know when they asked Jesus about marriage and they asked him about divorce, he went back all the way to Genesis. And he said, from the beginning, there was a man and a woman, and they were to be one. And he said, divorce and marital separation, I did not give. Moses gave it by a law. But from the beginning, I established male and female, a man and a woman to be married, and they were to remain loyal and faithful to each other. Now, I know that there are circumstances, even in the church, that has caused people to divorce, infidelity, perversions of all kind. But that doesn't change what Jesus said. Stay faithful in marriage, for God will judge adulterers. He will judge the immoral. This author has been very true to his warnings as well as his comfort. And he's bringing out another part, saying even in the difficult circumstances that you're going to be going through, stay committed to one another, stay committed to Christ. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere man or mere people do to me? So when they were going through hardships, their jobs were affected, just like COVID affected many people's income. We can understand that, right? Some couldn't work. Some couldn't go to their jobs. They had a loss of income. But the Lord says, don't love money so much, but trust in God. Have confidence in God. Be satisfied with what you have. For God will never fail you. God will make a way for you. God will provide for you. I love the story of George Muller, and he was a man of great faith in England, and he had orphanages there, and he always was believing and trusting God, that God would provide. And he started as a young man in the clergy. He started just saying, you know, I'm just going to go to God, and if I have a situation arise where I have a need, I'm just going to pray about it. I'm going to write it in my journal, and then I'm going to trust the Lord to provide. I'm not going to mention it to other people. I'm not going to try to get it myself. I'm just going to see if God will make resources available to me. And George Mueller soon found out the faithfulness of God, which is exactly what we sang about this morning, the faithfulness of God. And God would provide either resources through a person that would just come up to him and say, the Lord told me to give you this, or the Lord has instructed me. And he ended up in the time of the Depression, dark times, building orphanages and providing for the children that had no mother or father. And they would often get up in the morning and the finances would just not be there that morning. The food wouldn't be there that morning. And all of a sudden he would pray. He would get the children at the table. He would set them all down at the table. And they would just begin to say, Lord, we thank you that you have provided our needs for today. And you have provided the needs of these children. And then outside he heard a ruckus and things going on, and a bread bakery truck had just broken down, and they had to get the bread off the truck. And what did they do? Bring it over to the orphanage and give it to the children, so that while they were thanking God, he was providing for their needs. Now, I still have a long way to go in that type of faith. Because that's a faith that believes God like Abraham did and trusts God to raise his son from the dead, because to him he'd already sacrificed Isaac and he worshiped him and praised God. There's a great faith in that, the belief and the confidence that God will provide your needs, that no matter what happens, that God will make a way for you. And that takes trust. And that's what this book is all about. Believing God in difficult times. Remaining faithful to Christ even in dark and difficult times when it seems hard. He said, and now he's quoting a scripture. He's saying, I will never fail you. He's going back again into the Old Testament, which this author has done a lot. Reaffirming and establishing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the visible representation of the invisible God. And just as God the Father supplies our needs, Christ supplies our needs. God supplies our needs through Christ. And he is faithful. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And let me tell you, that is very comforting right now, because sometimes with all the things going on in the nation and all the things that I'm seeing happening that are fulfillments of Scripture and parts of the Word of God that are now being manifested and the prophecies that are coming to pass, sometimes it's enough to make your heart fear. It's enough to make your heart be filled with fear. But he says that we are to remind ourselves of this scripture, that the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And you say, well, yes, he's quoting that, but look what they ended up doing. There's no fear because there's eternal life. Not because we get everything we need here, or want here, should I say. But there's no fear because men have no power to take out of me the allegiance and the faith and the seed of God that has been implanted to me by God through faith. Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body, but they can do nothing else to you. Fear God, who has the power to cast both body and soul into hell. So what was he saying when he said that? I'm the one that should be feared, because I will give final judgment, but for those who love me. Those who love me. There's a confidence and a trust, right, that God will have the final say on our life, and that even if men persecute us or they cause us to suffer in this life, we have a life beyond this world. And we will stand before God, our Creator, our Father, Christ, the living God, in visible form. And we can trust that His judgment on our life will be just and right, as it will be for everyone else. Have confidence and do not fear. Then he wants to go into the part about remembering your leaders who taught you the Word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. So he's pointing them back To the apostles, he's pointing them back to the teachers. He's pointing them back to the faithful ones who have stayed faithful. And he's telling them not to forget those who are teaching them and who are giving them understanding of the scriptures and who are giving them revelation. And that you're to follow their example of faith. And I just think that that's so precious, because if the leader, or the servant, I should say, that is teaching, is not living this out, then I would recommend that you not follow them. And if I'm not living it out, and if I'm not the same in my home as I am up here, don't follow me. In fact, I shouldn't be here. And that's how I pray. Don't let me hurt you, God. Don't let me dishonor you with my life. There have been plenty of times that I have, but that's where the mercy of God steps in and I realign myself with Christ. And let me tell you, it takes a humble heart to follow Christ. You've got to be teachable. You've got to be breakable. You've got to have things cut off of your life, and you've got to have the new life experience birthed into it, the Word of God. You've got to be willing, and it takes a willing vessel. So follow those who are following Christ. Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. And if I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. And let me say that according to the words of Jesus in the last days, Matthew 24, there are going to be all kinds of people saying, I'm just like Christ, follow me. I'm just like Jesus, follow me. Let's do this and do that. And there's going to be all kinds, according to the apostles, there's going to be all kinds of false doctrines. And we're seeing that. There's all kinds of false doctrines out there right now. And you guard your heart. And if it doesn't look like Jesus, act like Jesus, and talk like Jesus. And here's the key. You say, well, how do I know if it's like, know your word. Spend your intimate time with God so that you know Him as well. There are many people that take the word of God and they use it as a law. And they bash people with it, and they mistreat people. I can't tell you how many people have gotten on the webpage and said, oh, we hope you get stoned. And these are Christians, and they'll quote scripture back to you. Be very careful of religious people. When I say that, I'm saying people who, they have the law, but they don't have mercy, and they don't have compassion, and they don't know Jesus intimately. And so all of that, you have the ability to discern through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You see, the law killeth, but the Spirit gives life. And you have to have the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And it's through the Word of God and the Spirit of God and through your intimate time with God that you are transformed. As you behold Jesus, you're changed into the likeness of Jesus. James talks about this. Beholding Jesus is like looking in a mirror and seeing who you should be. And then also seeing the dirt that needs to be washed away. As we behold Jesus, we're to be conformed into His image and His likeness and His nature. And I'm still growing. Are you still growing? I'm still learning. There's still things in my life that need cut off, and there's things that need to be employed in my life in a greater measure, in a greater way. So yes, honor and respect your teachers, but you yourself know the greatest teacher. And let Him teach you along with your teachers and others that you listen to. I should not be the only one that you're listening to. You should be listening to other great men and women of God who are solid in the Word of the Lord and who are filled with the Spirit. You should be listening to them too as they help you to grow. But you should be spending time with the Lord yourself and growing in your intimate time with God. And yes, so those who teach you are to be respected, and they're to teach you the Word of God, you know, the Word of God, not their opinions, not how they feel about things. They can give you commentary. They can give you examples, as I have today. But it should all come right back to this word. And if you're changing, this is the test. If you're changing into the image and the likeness of Jesus, that's a good sign. If there's fruit in your life, that's a good sign. So we want to continue to grow. And then he says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why did he insert that? Because he doesn't change. He's as solid yesterday as he was today, as he is today. And he'll be as solid tomorrow as he is today. He doesn't change. His words are the same. His truths are the same. They will ever, forever remain the same. You can trust the Word of God when you can trust no one else. You can trust Jesus when you can trust no one else. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas, right? There's a lot of strange new ideas. They say they're new, but what I've seen is there are a lot of old heresies that Paul and the apostles were dealing with even in their time. And even when Jesus wrote to the churches, when Jesus gave the letters to the churches in Revelation, they were still practicing things that he hated. The churches were teachings of the Nicolaitans, which was an abuse of grace, which was teaching them to live immoral lives. And because they had been saved, they were able to do whatever they liked. This was the same teaching. And that's exactly what Peter says. They twisted Paul's teaching on grace and gave people permission to live immoral, ungodly lives. Now, you know, we've just read through this book that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It's all through, our God is holy. The Holy Spirit inside of us is holy. We know that that's a false teaching because the Holy Spirit will only produce holiness in us. It's the flesh that loves immorality. It's the flesh that's tempted to go down the wrong road. It's the flesh that responds instead of reacting and allowing the Spirit. So he's saying, be careful of these so-called new ideas, which are nothing more than teachings that take people away from Christ and Christ's teachings and the apostles' teachings and twist the scriptures. And a heresy is any truth taken to an extreme. It's taking one little part and then building a whole doctrine off of that one little part and forgetting all the rest of the scriptures. He's saying, stay away from these new ideas, these strange doctrines that belittle the teachings of the apostles and Christ himself who taught Christ's teachings. And then he talks about it. Your strength comes from God's grace. Your strength comes from the Holy Spirit, not from rules about food. So they were still grappling with some of the Jewish traditions about circumcision and food, all of that. And he's saying, look, your strength comes from Christ. It comes from God's grace through Jesus. And those things like food, they don't help you. They're not going to be an aid to you. So don't go back into some of that Jewish legalistic teachings. But I say to you today, don't listen to some of these teachers who are taking portions of the scriptures and twisting it misusing it to teach a false doctrine and to take you away from the true teachings of Jesus Christ. Be careful. And I say that to myself, and I say it to you, because I have heard some of these teachings and they're dangerous. And I know people who are following some of those teachings and their life is a train wreck, filled with every immoral, ungodly act, and they are addicted and in strongholds of addiction, and because they've opened up doors for satanic powers and addictions to take over where they did not stand firm on the teachings of Christ about holiness and truth and righteousness and a way of life, a born-again life that is like Christ and not like the world. Be careful. Now he goes to this very precious, once again, this author just can't stop bringing up Jesus and the sacrifice that he has given for our salvation and eternal life. And he says, we have an altar from which the priest in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. So remember, it was only the high priest that could go into the Holy of Holies. And he would offer sacrifices to sin. So the average people or the priest on the outside of the Holy of Holies could not go there. They were had to go appointed there by lot. They would often go by lot into the Holy of Holies. So he says, under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also, once again, taking an Old Testament reality in that time, of and sacrifices were still going on, by the way. They were going back into that old system. So he's taking that old system of sacrificing animals, and now he's bringing it back before them again, saying it's Jesus who is now our atoning sacrifice. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people what? Holy. Holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him, outside the camp, and bear the disgrace that he bore. For this world is not our permanent home, and we are looking for a home yet to come. So he's saying, just like Jesus, these Christians at this time are suffering persecution. Just like Jesus, they are going through difficulty. Just like Jesus, they're bearing the reproach. They're bearing the reproach of Christ. They're bearing the shame of what it was like, just as Christ bore the shame. And he said, let us go outside this camp, because Jesus was crucified outside of Jerusalem, and let us bear the disgrace that he bore. When the disciples were punished, when they were beaten, when they were killed, when they were martyred, they counted it as they couldn't believe that they were worthy to suffer the same kind of death that Jesus had suffered. They considered it an honor to be sacrificed for the purposes, an honor to give their life and sacrifice their life just as Christ did, for the purposes of Christ, for the purposes of the gospel. And then he says to them, this world isn't our home. So he brings it now to an eternal perspective. He's saying, Jesus died on a cross, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He suffered outside of Jerusalem. He bore the disgrace. He was on a cross. He suffered. He endured it all for the sake of people, so that people could know and have a relationship with the Father and be forgiven of their sins through Christ Jesus. And he's saying, and now you're suffering and you're going through difficult things and you're going through all of that. Jesus went through that, but he was ascended. He went into the Holy of Holies. He placed his blood upon the mercy seat, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly tabernacle. And you too are a heavenly people. If you die here, if you suffer reproach, if you're persecuted, if you die for the gospel of Jesus Christ, like our brothers and sisters are all over the world, You are to be honored. You are to be blessed because God has a reward for you. But also, this isn't your home. Immediately, as soon as you take your last breath here, you will be with God. You will see Christ. To be absent in the body is to be present from the Lord. Your body will be in the ground waiting for the day when it is given a new life and a new body. But your spirit will be with the Lord as soon as you take your last breath. And he's reminding them of this because many of them in the future were going to be taking their last breath. I watched, just while we were on vacation, I watched a teaching on Nero and a historical understanding of who he was and what he did. And I watched the Christians of that time and how they responded. And it was humbling to watch it. It was humbling that they loved their master, their God, their Savior, Christ, so much that they would take and carry their babies into those arenas and be persecuted for the cause of Christ, while the onlookers laughed. This isn't your home. It's temporal. Everything is ahead of us. The beautiful Jerusalem that God has prepared for us, the heavenly tabernacle, the presence of God, Christ Himself, all of the saints and the believers who held on through difficult times, who kept their faith in Jesus. Everything is eternal. We're pilgrims here. Your homes are not yours, they're borrowed. You're just a steward of your home. You're a steward of the finances that God has given you. You're a steward of your children. You're a steward. You're just to care for it. You're to do the right things. You're to take care of things. You're to be thankful. You're to be thankful for what God has provided, knowing that, as these people knew, that it may be taken away from you the next day. But what cannot be taken away from you are the eternal things. Salvation. Eternal life. My mind is right. I'm just thinking. I'm seeing Jesus. I'm just thinking about how eye is not seen, and ear is not heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men all the things that God has made ready for His people. There is nothing here worth trading your eternal soul for. Nothing. Not a person, not money, not resources, not titles, not positions, not fame. Nothing. Nothing. You're a pilgrim here. Pilgrims travel, but they don't stay. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. This morning, I said, Lord Jesus, please help me to be faithful and not bring a reproach to Your name by the way I live, by the things I think, by what I say. Do not let me hurt You. Please don't let me hurt You. You say, that's a strange prayer. That is a weird prayer, but let me tell you something. I will stand before God and give an account for being a teacher here. And I never want to hurt Him. Have I said things that I didn't understand? I did, and I've had to correct it. Have I misunderstood things? I have, and I've had to relearn. But there is one thing that is true. God will forgive things in that nature. It's when I willfully disobey Him, when I willfully dishonor Him with my life. It's when I willfully and habitually live contrary to the things that I know that in His Word it does not teach, that I fear to stand before Him. I don't want to dishonor the one I love. I told my husband the other day, I was talking about this. We were in the car and I said, you know, everything I do as a wife is to give honor to you and your name. You gave me your name, and I'm to give honor to the name that you gave me. So if I would run around, it would hurt him and his name. If I would talk about him all over town and say mean things about him, it would hurt him and his name. If I would be unfaithful to our vows and our marriage, this is why Paul used the analogy of marriage so much in the scriptures, because it relates to God, because we're the bride of Christ. And I said, I'm a reflection of my husband who gave me his name. Most people don't say, oh, hi, Rebecca, how are you? They say, oh, you're Brian Gerald's wife. And I'm proud to carry that name. Well, I'm proud to carry the name of Jesus. I made a vow, an allegiance to that name, that I would honor that name and respect that name, and that I would live in accordance with the teachings and the way of life that He has handed down to me through His Word and through the apostles. And I'm keeping my vow to that name, because I, Rebecca, am a reflection of the name I carry. So honor the name and keep the allegiance unto death, just as marriage, for better, for worse, right? For richer, for poor, forsaking all others in sickness and in health, till death do you part, keep the vow. It won't always be easy. It will be hard. It will hurt. Keep the vow. Honor your father. Honor Christ. And by all means, honor the Holy Spirit by which we have been sealed. Because it is the only sin. Jesus said, you can say whatever you want to about me, but if you speak against the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness for you. See, we've lost our reverence. And whenever you lose respect and reverence for God, you won't have it for nothing, for no one, or nothing.
Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. So even in their difficulty, even in times of when you're, okay, the gas is up, the groceries are up, right? All of these things are raising. But if you hear the Holy Spirit tell you to give to someone, and you see other people in a need, and you have means, and it's not going to destroy your family, it's not going to take away from the needs of your own household, but you have extra, and you're able to give, or even if you have two and you're able to give to someone else one, he says, don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. That is powerful, because when he talks about obeying your spiritual leaders, that is very that's very humbling to me. And it tells me that I better be living this life. Because he's saying, honor that office, honor that calling, honor that person, do what they say. Well, if it looks like Jesus, do what it says. And it should look that way if I'm going to be up here. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Judges, teachers will be judged at a higher standard. That's exactly what James talked about. I love Catherine Kuhlman and what she said, because she was a female minister, and at that time it was not very popular to be a female minister. And God had called her, and she would always say it's because nobody else would claim this calling and they wouldn't do it, but I gave my life to the Lord. And she had made lots of mistakes in her life. She had really struggled in areas of relationship. She had divorced her husband, but then she aligned herself back into God, and the Lord had mercy on her, forgave her of her sins, called her to a great ministry, and she did this, and she was one of those female ministers in a day that it was not popular, but yet God used her, and those acts and demonstrations was a sign unto others and unbelievers that God had called her, because the Bible says that signs and wonders and miracles follow them that believe. And so this woman of the Lord was getting interviewed by a secular interviewer, and she said, what can you tell all the people, all the females out there who now may want to be ministers because of you? And she laughed just a little bit, and she said, if God didn't call you, don't do it. But if you're called, don't refuse to do it. Pray for us. We're going to be judged for what we taught you, and it will be a higher judgment. Pray for us, because we need it. Because I need it. I'll pray for you. You pray for me, that we'll be faithful all the way through to the end. And keep our allegiance in Christ. My conscience is clear. We want to live honorably in everything we do, and especially pray that I will be able to come back to you soon. And now he's going to go back again, quoting Scripture. Don't you love it? You see how often he quotes Scripture to confirm and establish it in the hearts of the hearers. It can't just be your stories. It can't just be things that your opinion. It has to go back to the word of the Lord. And he quotes this. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of our sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all that you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever and ever. In all of that, it's parts of Scripture. It's part of the things that he has taught them. It's part of the prophecies of the Old. And at this time, the New Testament was not even being written. So here it is being written for our good and for our establishment. These letters that went out, the Gospels, the epistles, all of it for our good. What is it doing? Reestablishing the Word of God, the fulfillment of the prophets, the things that were spoken of old and now fulfilled through Christ. Christ. And he's saying, oh, may the God of peace, and I just pray this over you now, may the God of peace, those who are listening online, those who are listening on Facebook, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of eternal the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. May he equip you with all that you need in the name of Jesus for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him, and all glory and all honor unto him forever and ever and ever. And everyone says, amen. He closes this letter by saying, I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to pay attention for what I have written in this brief exhortation. We've been going through 13 weeks of Hebrews. It doesn't seem brief, but if you were there, you would be in a group, and this letter would be read to you in its entirety. And so to them, it's very brief. And so he says, I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released from jail. Once again, another sign that the people of God will suffer persecution, and they will, they've went to jail time, they've been persecuted, but Timothy now has been released. And we also hear from this author that this is his circle of friends, right? This is who he hangs out with. Be careful who you hang out with. We're to be a witness to the world, but our circle is to be a circle of people that we can trust, that will strengthen us and edify us in our time of need, and we can do the same for them. This was the circle he ran with, Paul and Timothy, right? And others of like faith. If he comes here soon, Timothy's talking of, I will bring him with me to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the believers there. The believers from Italy send their greetings, and may God's grace be with you all. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you so much for the word of the Lord, and thank you for the book of Hebrews, the letter of Hebrews that was given to the people to help them in their difficult time, to give them a greater understanding of the scriptures, the old types and shadows of the Old Testament, and the fulfillment of them in Christ Jesus the Lord. It's also, Lord, to help keep them from deviating from Christ and going back into an old system. And Lord, maybe there's people listening to me right now online, and they're thinking about leaving the church. They're thinking about leaving Christ. They're thinking about going back into the world, forsaking their faith and abandoning it for the love of this world and the things that are in it. And maybe even some, like ones that we've mentioned as we've studied these teachings, they went into Buddhism, they went into other types of religion, and they left and forsook Christ. And the warning to return to Jesus is so strong and so clear in this book. Father, we pray that those that are listening would now be touched in their hearts, and that they would return to Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith, who, if we stay with him, will bring us completely into the eternal kingdom and without spot or blemish. So, Father, those that or have walked away from you, those who have backslidden, Lord, we're asking you to draw them back unto you, that they would not forsake Christ, but they would remain faithful to their allegiance to the Word of God and to Christ Jesus the Lord. Father, we're also praying, Lord, for those who don't know you, and maybe they just happen to listen to this today. And I pray, Lord, that for those that don't know you, that they would, the gospel is being preached all over the world. The gospel is being preached to the four corners of the world. The gospel is being preached. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that has the ability to save souls from eternal damnation. And Lord, we pray that those who do not know you, who have heard the gospel but not made a decision, that they would come to Christ today. That they would turn to Jesus, who is the only way to the Father and the only way to have eternal life beyond this world is through Christ Jesus alone. That you would come to Jesus today. That you would repent of your sins, because he has been
and is the sacrificial lamb that died and poured out his blood on the mercy seat for you to be able to have forgiveness of sins. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he, Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is the blood of Jesus that washes away our transgressions, giving us the opportunity to start anew and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's life living inside of us, and he has promised to give us the Holy Spirit who will aid us and guide us and fill us with every good gift and ability to serve Jesus faithfully and to the end as we submit our lives unto Christ. For those, Lord, that are staying faithful and that have remained faithful, may you continue to give them wisdom and strength. May you cause them to be bold. May you cause their faith to increase even in times of adversity. May their allegiance stay true to the end. May they, O Lord, come to a place in their life where they have given you everything and have decided that it is worth the cost. To have Jesus is to have everything. And keep them strong, Lord, and faithful to the end. And may we praise you and worship you as we wait for your return from heaven. In Jesus' name, and amen and amen.